You need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and use discount code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. As always, you're welcome to call into the program. It's 844-500-4242. Lots to get to today. I do want to start off with some updates from the horrific shooting yesterday in Louisville, Kentucky. The shooter was a former bank employee, 25 years old. He live streamed the attack. The victims in this case, we do have their names: Tommy Elliott, 63, Jim Tutt, 64, Joshua Barrick, 40, Juliana Farmer, 45, and Deanna Eckhart, 57, all employees of the bank. Now, there are different reports out about the shooter that he suffered. I've been seeing a lot of stories about how he suffered from concussions as an athlete in high school, that he was suicidal, that he was disgruntled because of his recent firing from the bank. And we are going to talk to Toby Leary about this because now there's headlines out there that the gun was purchased legally. And we'll take your questions and comments for Toby in the 2 o'clock hour. But I was reading a Newsweek piece, and it was all about a Fox News contributor, Ted Williams, who had an interesting segment on the on a program there, and he was advocating for red flag laws and more ways to curb these kind of attacks. And so they had a quote from Ted Williams, and he said, "We do need red flag laws in this country. We do need families who know that their loved one may very well be mentally ill. We need them to be able to speak up. If they see something, say something, and we have to help law enforcement to help individuals who are mentally ill." So that was the quote in Newsweek. And then the journalist who's writing this piece follows it up with, "It is not clear if mental illness played a role in the Louisville shooting." I would say it's a safe bet that something was off.
It's a hell of a lot of journalism.
You walk into an old place of employment and you kill five innocent people and live stream it, I would say you're suffering from some form of mental illness. And I don't know, maybe that's a journalist thing that I don't understand. They can't say it until they have it somewhere written down. But I would say that without a doubt, this man was dealing with some sort of sickness. I just also wanted to add, because I talked to Howie about this yesterday on his program, thank God for the police officers in Louisville in this case. They were on the scene within 3 minutes. They exchanged gunfire with the shooter, and they were able to prevent more deaths. One officer is reportedly in critical condition. A lot of people in Kentucky are in the hospital. I think it's up to 9 people who are injured. So once again, I know I keep repeating this, but I think it's important to remind everyone to send your prayers to Kentucky. The White House immediately and predictably called for GOP lawmakers to pass Biden's assault weapons ban. And that's also part of the conversation we can have with Toby. So when these mass shootings used to occur, when I first started the show, and unfortunately they occur frequently, I would push Toby off another week. I didn't want to appear insensitive. I didn't want to appear like we weren't, torn up about it, because obviously everybody is when these things happen. But I think the more I've had time to really digest doing this show and having Toby on, I think it's important that he can answer your questions and get to share his stances when these tragedies do occur. I know everyone might not agree with him. That's welcome too. You're more than welcome to put your opinion out there. We've had several people call in and tell me that I'm wrong on this front, but you'd be hard pressed to find anyone with more knowledge on gun control and the current laws on the books regarding the Second Amendment than Toby. And you'd be hard pressed to find anyone more respectful of other people's viewpoints and someone you can really have a deliberate conversation with and maybe actually get somewhere. So we're lucky to have him later on in the program. Other stories I want to tackle today involve a host of new headaches for the Biden administration. The hits just keep on coming for Joe. And as we touched on yesterday, there were classified U.S. government documents that were leaked on message boards like 4chan. And it turns out these documents not only revealed some inconvenient truths about what's really going on the front of the Russia-Ukraine war, which I think that a lot of us have had, and I know I'm not supposed to say this, I know I'm going to be accused of being a puppet of Putin, but a lot of us have wondered if we're getting even close to the full picture when it comes to Ukraine. And when the war first started, we were constantly being told how there was all these stories that came out about, you know, these heroic missions and these real tearjerker style stories. And then people in the press would run with them and then they would end up not being true. They were just put out there to like boost morale in Ukraine and around the world for Ukraine. So I think after that started happening in the beginning, it was very unclear what details we could believe in the fog of war and what was just being told to us. Now, the narrative has been that Ukraine is really giving Russia a run for its money. I know that's not military speak, but that they have been standing up a lot stronger than maybe Russia originally anticipated. And I'm not here to say that there's no truth to that whatsoever. I think obviously the fact that it's even gone on this long shows that Russia did underestimate what Ukraine could do. But now we're finding out more about the current state of the Ukrainian military. And that's not it. That's not the only part of this, of these leaked documents. There's also the fact that it was revealed that the U.S. has been spying on its allies. Now, there's a lot here that has been jeopardized. There's a lot of cleaning up to do. There's a lot of conversations that are going to have to go on between our military officials and other military officials around the world and their counterparts. And Kirby's response to this yesterday was just what you'd expect. Like, whenever these things happen, what always amazes me is how they really want you to feel like, hey, we're just as bummed out as you are. You know, hey, you think we like hearing this? This is tough. You don't get the sense that anyone's in the driver's seat, you know, like, oh, I don't. We got this. We got a plan, or we know what we're going to do now or going forward. This is the next step. Whenever they're asked these questions, it's, hey, we don't know either. Yeah, it does suck. Yeah, we're bummed out, man. You think we like this? But I'm sure these documents that were leaked were not as top secret as the menus in Trump's closet at Mar-a-Lago. So on that note, those are the real secrets we should be worried about. That's the real problem here. I would classify that at like a 3-alarm fire, and I would say that this whole leaked documents about war and spying on our allies, probably 1.5. Now, speaking of Donald Trump, do you think Kirby could find a way to blame the leaks, the Pentagon leaks, on Orange Man? It's going to be hard. It would definitely be hard. He'd have to twist himself into a bit of a pretzel. But after watching his performance with the Afghanistan report, I don't know. I've got a lot of faith in this guy. He can't do anything else right, but when it comes to blaming Donald Trump, I think Kirby's like one of the best in the business. I think he's one of the top five. And so it might be a stretch, but he can certainly try. And yesterday I was actually talking to Jared about this on the show. I said, because you see Kirby up there, you see Karine Jean-Pierre up there, you see the Easter Bunny up there. I don't know if people heard on Howie's show. They actually did bring up the Easter Bunny yesterday to the press conference, and someone asked the Easter Bunny about the Trump indictment. Easter Bunny, suspiciously quiet on that. did not really say anything, which, again, I don't want to say that everyone's colluding against Trump here, but it doesn't bode well when the Easter Bunny has nothing to say. And on a totally another note here, Jared had mentioned that they had revamped the costumes. And I had asked you, Jared, I said, can you describe the new costumes? And you said they're more cartoonish. I got a look, and I actually sent Howie a photo of a side-by-side. I have to agree, I do not like it. I much prefer last year's Easter Bunny to this year's Easter Bunny. This year's Easter Bunny, if I'm being frank here, chilling. Something about it was chilling.
It looks like an AI-generated image of the Easter Bunny, but it's like how AI gives people like seven fingers and 3 years. It's like that type of a... Or they 3D printed it out of that or something.
Yeah, but you know what else? And I don't want to be a stickler, but I did have a bunny rabbit. So really, you could put me on as like our bunny expert of the Grace Curley show. I thought one of the best parts of the old Easter Bunny was that it focused on the teeth. I think that's a huge part of capturing a bunny's essence, are those two buck teeth. And I loved the other Easter Bunny, because there's usually two, that constantly had a face of shock. The mouth was kind of agape, and you still saw the buck teeth, but the mouth was agape. The new Easter Bunny just has a smile drawn across, doesn't even have any teeth. Where's the fun in that?
Yeah, it looks like the DJ Marshmallow, if
yes.
anybody is familiar with. Yeah, it's just the one line. It was weird.
It was weird. It was another bad decision.
Like one of those trick-or-treat buckets that you would get at McDonald's.
Yeah,
like,
and
just funky.
You know, like I said, this administration... There's nothing they see, even things that can be left alone. They look at it and they say, you know what? We're going to mess this up. There's something here that hasn't been touched by this administration, and we are going to bleep this bleep up. And they do every time.
And it actually kind of looked like an old communist drawing from the 60s.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Maybe Joe was like, show me something from my childhood. I want this to feel old. Like everything else, I want this to feel old. Well, the reason I bring this up is because everybody's been to the podium, even the creepy Easter Bunny, except for Joe Biden. And yesterday I said to Jared, how long has it been since he's had a press conference? It's got to be like 130 days or something. Well, turns out that was on the minds of a lot of the reporters in the press briefing room who asked KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, about this. And she did her best Baghdad Bob and actually tried to convince these people that Biden takes a lot of their questions. It reminds me of when I was in a play once that was really, really terrible. I shouldn't say really terrible. It was a long one. And I didn't have any lines in the play. And my mom came to see the play and she fell asleep. And I saw her falling. I saw her sleeping the whole time. And then she said to me when the play was over, it really wasn't that bad. I don't know why you'd been complaining so much. And I said, well, you were asleep the whole time. And she said, no, I wasn't asleep. And I said, Mom, I had nothing to do for 2 hours except watch you. I watched you sleeping. And so if I'm a reporter and I'm being told by Karine Jean-Pierre, oh no, he takes a lot of questions. I'd be sitting there going, all we do all day is not get our questions answered from Joe Biden. That's what our entire day is made up of. Our entire schedule is be ignored by President Biden. And you're going to try to tell us, like maybe you go and tell other people. Maybe you go on CNN and say, oh, no, Joe Biden takes a lot of questions. And maybe the 6 or 7 or 8 viewers on CNN would say, oh, that's nice that the president takes questions from reporters. But to tell the reporters who spend all day being ignored, you're actually getting a lot of questions.
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
The president's answering a lot of your inquiries. That's bold. That's a real slap in the face. That's just rubbing salt in the wound. And nobody deserves that more than our journalists, than the trained SEALs at the White House. So we're going to talk about that. Plus, Don Lemon in hot water once again, this time for a hot mic moment about comedian Jon Stewart. We'll talk about that.
Go there.
We'll talk about a now withdrawn memo from the FBI that looks like it was targeting, you know, Catholic churches, investigating these churches. And we will definitely get into all of that. The number is 844-500-4242, plus tons of sound to get to. Very much looking forward to this show. And as always, looking forward to hearing from you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
When you want someone who knows as little about what's going on as everybody else, you send out John Kirby. Because his response, and I can't believe I missed this, I saw it today, it was in a Red State article, his response to the leaked classified military documents and whether or not the leak has been contained was pretty stunning. Can I have cut four, please, Jared? This is Admiral John Kirby.
Do you believe the leak is contained? Are there more documents out there that have not been released publicly? Is this an ongoing threat?
We don't know. We truly don't.
We truly don't know. Well, that inspires confidence, doesn't it? And it's not even that it inspires confidence. It's that I don't believe him. I don't believe anything he says, because there was a news story out today about how there are newly obtained documents that allegedly show, again from Red State, they got a lot of good reporting out there today, that the White House in NARA lied about the Mar-a-Lago raid. Now,
what?
This will come as a shock for multiple reasons. One is because the National Archives, I wouldn't have guessed that they're biased towards Joe Biden, because they handled the raids of Trump and Biden so similarly, you know?
These are facts. Check them out.
It really seemed like they were just on the up and up. But it turns out that the White House, when they claim to be blindsided, that might have been, that the lie detector test shows that was a lie. It is revealed that the White House made a special access request that appears to have been the pretext for the raid. So imagine that. The Biden administration giving pretext to a raid onto Donald Trump's property at Mar-a-Lago. You know, if this were reversed, Jared.
Oh, boy.
If Joe Biden had just a tint more orange in his skin, I think this is what you'd call the move of an authoritarian tin pot dictator.
Yeah, I was under the impression that any type of inquiry against a political opponent was an impeachable offense. From a certain phone call that I remember.
You would think
there
that.
There was a lot made about.
Yeah, a perfectly good phone call. You would think that. The FBI and the DOJ, it turns out they didn't just raid Trump's home out of the blue. And it turns out that the White House didn't just, you know, find out about it like we did on the news. This is an old Obama trick, which I love that it's having a comeback. You know, it's like everything else. It makes me nostalgic for the Obama days, where whenever news breaks, we're actually supposed to believe that these people in the White House are just finding out about it. You know, they walk out like Joe's walking out in his giant bathrobe in the morning and he just sees the paper on his, you know, front doormat. And he goes, oh, boy, Jelly Bean, did you see this? They raided Mar-a-Lago last night. Well, I'll be. Honestly, though, with Joe's memory, that actually could be the case. John Kirby, though, I don't think that he's finding things out at the same time we are, even if he does a very, very good job at convincing us otherwise. When we come back, we're going to do the poll question that has to do with global warming, and we're going to take your calls, plus we're going to talk about the FBI's latest memo. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
But this is the system. And make no mistake, Jesse. I mean, I know the White House as well as anyone. I spent a lot of time there. I know the system. This did not happen without Joe Biden's explicit approval. The White House approved of this. Mark my words, Jesse. It will come out.
That's not what Joe Biden told me. That was Eric Trump, son of Donald Trump. And that was in August, right after the raid of Mar-a-Lago. Now, here are some good questions posed by posed by Red State. If you're just tuning in now, what we're learning is that there are documents that show the White House and NARA lied about the raid, that they were not totally forthcoming. And some of the questions here are obvious. The documents in question were requested by the White House under a provision that allows special access to materials needed in the conduct of current business of the administration. So that gave NARA the pretext to raid Mar-a-Lago, which you know they were just dying for. I don't know. That'd be a good question. Who wanted to raid Mar-a-Lago more? The Biden administration or NARA? Because they seem to have a real bone to pick with DJT. You'll notice that when it was Donald Trump and they're, you know, rifling through Melania's underwear drawer, that was, you know, very urgent, important information they needed to get back. By the way, still not really sure what that was. I'm guessing it wasn't top secret nuclear weapons at this point. But when it was Joe Biden and he's got documents scattered in garages next to Corvettes and in Biden pen think tanks, NARA's a lot more, you know, he's cooperating. We'll get them when we get them. We got about 9 boxes. We haven't really looked through them just yet, but we've got other fish to fry. We got bigger fish to fry. We're currently fingerprinting a menu that we found at Mar-a-Lago. It appears to have 2 scoops of ice cream that were smeared away. So that's what we're working on. But once,
ice cream of war.
Once we get back to it, we'll let you know. So here are some of the questions that Bonchi brings up. Why did the Biden administration request these documents in the first place? And was the request even legal? Further, did the president and his handlers do so in order to create a pretext for the raid to target a political opponent? There are still some dots left to be connected, but it certainly looks like the White House claims of being in the dark are simply not true. Whenever a White House tells you we really didn't know anything about it, you should have an antenna go up. And they do this a lot. And you know, I played one cut from Kirby. Now,
that is false.
He's responding to these Pentagon leaks. Kirby's had a rough couple days, Jared. Hasn't been great for John Kirby. And I played you one of them where he said they truly don't know if the leak of classified military documents is contained, which is a bit concerning. Like we have, when you think about it, Jared, when you think about our intelligence agencies and how much people like John Kirby and all the best and brightest in the White House, how much they fawn over these agencies and how we are not worthy. You know, if you say anything bad about the Pentagon, if you say anything bad about the CIA, the FBI, you are a traitor.
You're the one who wants to defund law enforcement and the police now.
Yeah, you're the one who wants to defund the police. Right, that's the new tactic. But then when something like this happens and there's these leaked documents about the Russia-Ukraine war all over 4chan, we get a big shoulder shrug from the guys in charge. So there's another cut I want to play here. Let's have cut 8. He's asked a question about the leaked documents. This is Kirby's response.
We don't know who's responsible for this, and we don't know if they have more that they intend to post. So we're watching this and monitoring it as best we can. But the truth and the honest answer to your question is we don't know. And is that a matter of concern to us? You're darn right it is.
Ugh, the folksiness of you're darn right it is. You know what I don't like? You know what I find suspicious about people? When people start asking themselves questions and answering them. That to me, again, my antennas are always going, but that to me is cause for an antenna to go up. You know, do we know what's going on? No, we don't. Do we wish we did? Yeah, we do. Could things get out of control? You bet your sweet bippy they could. And he's big on these folksy sayings. He, during the Afghanistan report, when he came out last week to brief the press on the holiday news dump, the 12-page Afghanistan report that spent a third of the report blaming Donald Trump. By the way, I do have a column up about that at bostonherald.com. I noticed that he would do this and he would say, you bet. Remember you saying that to Peter Ducey? Are we proud of how many Afghans we were able to evacuate? You bet, Peter. You bet. He likes to ask himself, because the only questions he can answer are the questions he's asking himself.
This guy was an admiral.
Oh, well, did you happen to see General Keith Kellogg?
Kellogg, I did see it, yeah.
He was ripping him on Guy Benson's show on Fox. Take a cut 9.
Yeah, Guy, look, I think, you know, what he did was actually disgraceful. And here's the reason I'm saying that. He's a retired admiral. He knows better. I get it when you're a flack and you're talking in the White House. I was there. I spent 4 years in the White House. I kind of know how the drill goes. But he knows better because he was a professional military officer. And that is, his comments were disgraceful. He knows exactly what's happening. You know, I'd remind him that, yeah, there was an aircraft taking off full of people. There was also people hanging on airplanes that fell off as they were taking off. You know, and what he says about chaos, no chaos, and his definition of chaos, Guy, is a lot different than my definition of chaos.
Yeah, I was thinking about that quote because I ended my article on this note where Kirby says there's a lot of Afghans he was much more concerned about the Afghans than he was about the American citizens who were either left there or, you know, the 13 U.S. service members who died. But he said a lot of Afghans have gone on to lead better lives now. They're living better lives. And I actually asked him, I said, now, of course, we're not referring to the Afghans who were clinging on to the military jet and plunged to their death on the tarmac in Kabul, right? We're excluding those Afghans from the narrative, I'm assuming. But yeah, this guy talked about, oh, my perch was different. I don't buy it. This snake oil salesman, Jared, is saying he doesn't buy the idea that there was chaos in Afghanistan. And yet what he's trying to sell, talk about a tough pitch. What he's trying to sell to the American people is a whopper. Basically, this was a huge success. Everything that went right in Afghanistan, huge success. You should thank Joe Biden. Everything that went wrong, well, that was just stuff that Biden inherited from the former guy. Now, just to go back here for a second to these press briefings. So, like I said, this administration is dealing with all sorts of issues. We've got the leaks from the Pentagon. We've got this new information about the National Archives. We also have, and I actually want to get this off my desk right now, we also have this memo from the FBI. Now listen to this. This is from the New York Post. Representative Jim Jordan subpoenas FBI Chief Christopher Wray over chilling memo. So the House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan announced on Monday that his panel has issued a subpoena to FBI Director Christopher Wray. And the reason being is that there was a now withdrawn January 23rd memo from the FBI's Richmond field office. Okay, and it was titled Interest. And whenever they title these memos, you almost need, like, nobody is succinct. Nobody gets to the heart of it. There's just all of these buzzwords kind of crammed together. It's like Gavin Newsom being interviewed by Jen Psaki. You have to really try to follow it and almost read it like some sort of poem or something. It says, interest of racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists and radical traditionalist Catholic ideology almost certainly presents new mitigation opportunities. That is the title of a memo. I'm not going to try to play editor for the FBI here, okay? I know they have very busy jobs scrolling Twitter and reporting on, you know, MAGA accounts that they don't like. But if I were there, if I were like Howie Carr, you know, giving everyone my 2 cents on the headline, I would say, we can tighten this up a little bit.
That sounds like a paper written by somebody in the 19th century.
Yeah.
For academic purposes.
But they were better writers back then. Like, who was the person who said, if I had had more time, this letter would have been shorter? Like, the longer you work on something, the less words you're supposed to have. This could be the whole memo. The whole memo is in the title. It's like a headline from the Daily Mail. You ever read one of their headlines and you think, what am I going to learn in the article? They just told me everything. So here's what it's all about. In case that the descriptive headline didn't fill you in. The missive, which Jordan described as chilling in a tweet on Monday, discussed meeting with church leaders to review the warning signs of radicalization and to enlist their assistance to serve as suspicious activity tripwires. Based on the limited information, now this is Jordan wrote in a letter to Wray on Monday. He said, based on the limited information produced by the FBI to the committee, we now know that the FBI relied on at least one undercover agent to produce its analysis, and that the FBI proposed that its agents engage in outreach to Catholic parishes to develop sources among the clergy and church leadership to inform on Americans practicing their faith. Because that is the problem in this country right now. That, based off all the polls I've seen recently, Jared, and based off this Easter weekend, going to church, the problem is too many people are religious in the United States of America. I know what you might be thinking. Grace, we have way bigger issues. You know, people are depressed. People are on TikTok giving away national security secrets. People are, you know, they've lost their faith. But no, according to our FBI, who always, they always have their fingers on the pulse. They always have their eye on the prize. They've got a real list of priorities. According to our FBI, the issue here, too many practicing Catholics. And I can save Jim Jordan a lot of time here. I understand what he's doing and I appreciate it. He's one of my absolute favorites. And I really don't have any favorites when it comes to these politicians, so that's really saying something. But I'm going to save him a lot of time here interviewing Christopher Wray. Whatever the question is, like, why did you focus on people going to church? Why did you need undercover agents to infiltrate the Catholic parishes? The answer will undoubtedly be, I cannot tell you that because it would jeopardize sources and methods. And it's an ongoing investigation. Maybe he'll even work in a little bit of John Kirby and say, I am loath to divulge that intel, that sensitive top secret intel. But this is what the FBI is up to. And like I said, when they're not doing that, they are having training exercises in Boston and handcuffing Delta pilots to the shower. This is your FBI. Inflation's at a 40-year high. That's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. One of our listeners didn't buy just one 3-Pack. He bought two of them, and he wrote, everyone loves them, and so do I. After only a few hours, I could tell the difference, or should I say I could smell the difference. This is a really great product if you like to cook in your house, if you suffer from allergies, or just, you know, sometimes that dry air can kind of get you, especially in the morning, Jared. I noticed this is a great device to turn on at night, so when you wake up in the morning, you're waking up to fresh air.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want this ionized clean air, and that's what the Eden Pure Thunderstorm gives you. It doesn't cover up odors, it doesn't make things smell nice, but there's still the dirty air floating around. No, it actually sends out ions, it ionizes the air, and that creates the super oxygen. And that is what eliminates the odors that are in the air, as well as the allergens and pollutants that'll probably spring up when you open your windows tonight.
Yeah, so go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code GRACE at checkout. Again, that's EdenPureDeals.com. Put in code GRACE at checkout. Shipping is free. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code GRACE. When we come back, we're going to do the poll question. And this is a Jared Diglio special. So with that being said, if you want to get in on it before we read the results in the next segment, go to GraceCurlyShow.com and vote in that poll question now. We'll be right back with the results.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, this is a mix of a poll question and a Sports Go Sports update. Give us the background here.
All right, so as always, we always say, what can climate change not do? Well, apparently it can also affect baseball, and it can cause more home runs, according to a report that came from University of Illinois physicists and a Dartmouth study scientist. Basically, they're saying because the air is getting hotter because the globe is warming, hot air is better for baseballs to travel. So they estimate that climate change has now going to be responsible for at least 50 home runs each year in the sport of baseball. 50 total home runs, not per.
The players have nothing to do with it. It's climate change that gets the credit.
Climate change gets the credit. Yes.
Climate change is like Donald Trump. Climate change can take credit and responsibility for absolutely everything. All right, so that sounds absolutely ridiculous, and I'm not shocked
blah,
at all.
Blah, 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 blah.
That this is where we're at. What are my options here?
All right, so today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is what do you think is the real reason for more home runs in Major League Baseball? Is it climate change? Is it stronger players? Is it weaker pitching? Or is it performance-enhancing drugs?
I'm not going to pretend to be a baseball fanatic here and know what I'm talking about, but I would say performance-enhancing drugs probably has increased the number of home runs by a good deal.
36% of the audience agrees performance-enhancing drugs are why there are more home runs. 27% say it is weaker pitching. 25% say it is stronger players. And only 12% believe it's climate change.
Oh, 12% on Team Climate. Interesting. We're going to have to come up with some jerseys for climate change so when they hit these home runs, they get the credit they deserve. This was a story that was from, it was from a little while ago, and we missed it. I think Howie talked about it. I actually skipped over this, and I saw it today at the Boston Herald. East Hampton School Committee blasted by disgusted residents for canceling superintendent candidate over ladies' email. So I had read about this, that there was a superintendent. His name is Perrone, and he was writing an email to two women, and he addressed them as ladies. And since that happened, he's been in a world of hurt. So the school committee voted 5-2 on Monday to not re-enter negotiations with Perrone. His name is Vito Perrone. The committee voted instead to offer the job to Erica Faginski Stark. The school committee in Western Massachusetts was meeting for the first time after viral news broke that Perrone had lost his job after he called the committee chair and her assistants ladies in an email. Now, the part of this I wanted to talk about, and we can, of course, if you want to, take calls on it in the next hour, but it was some of the comments that were quoted in the article. So one, a math teacher said, East Hampton has a chance to show how we do not jeopardize the name and career of a person for simply uttering a word that some may deem offensive. Now, again, he said the word ladies.
Birthing people.
I'm going to be honest with everybody because that's what I do here. I say ladies all the time. Hello, ladies. When I see my friends, I say it all the time. Hi, ladies. How are you? I guess that's not good to say anymore. That's not, you're going to get canceled. Here's another person. This is a resident. It is not so black and white whether it's inappropriate. While I recognize the party's reason for taking offense, I wish there would have been a chance for Dr. Perrone to make amends. Am I the only one who doesn't recognize the party's reason for taking offense? I would hope we could get past this and apologize and accept his apology. Why is he apologizing? I need to start from the beginning of this. Absolutely craziness. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about this and a lot more. Don't go anywhere.